Han må gi vår på, gi vår kvinser på. Amen. Today, in the Armenian Church calendar, we celebrate the feast of the discovery of the Holy Cross. And it's today that we remember back in the 4th century when St. Constantine's mother, St. Helena, goes to Jerusalem, goes to the Holy Land, and is searching for all the holy sites of Christ. She goes there and she finds the birthplace of Christ. She finds Golgotha, where he's crucified. She finds his tomb. And she even finds the Holy Cross. And according to tradition, the Holy Cross is found underneath, it is buried underneath a pagan temple dedicated to Venus. And when they discover where this place is supposed to be, they destroy the ground, they dig it up, and they find three crosses, one belonging to Christ, and the other two belonging to the thieves that were crucified with Christ. And it is interesting, because the cross, remember, is not, as we think of it today, as a piece of decoration that we just wear around our necks, or we put on t-shirts, or we hang on our walls in our homes. The cross was an instrument of death and destruction. It was an instrument of fear. When you saw a cross, you were scared. It was not something you celebrated. It was a symbol of Roman superiority, Roman dominance in the land. And it is a symbol of humiliation, of shame, and of pain. Whoever was crucified in the ancient world, as we would say in Armenian, amote, it was a shame to that person and to their entire family. In today's world, it could be compared almost to a noose. If you see it hanging on a tree, you know something's wrong. No one would hang nooses in their homes. No one would hang little guns from their necks. But this is what the cross is in the ancient world. And it is interesting because Christ, right before his crucifixion, he says, "If one wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me." And the question naturally arises, why? Why would Christ tell us, if you want to follow him, you have to be willing to take up this symbol, this instrument of pain and destruction and death? The easiest answer and the most succinct answer is because it's been transformed. It no longer is a symbol of death and destruction, but it is now a symbol of life and resurrection. It is an instrument that takes away pain and takes away suffering and has transformed death into life. In the gospel, Christ says, "You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." To deny ourselves is something that we don't like to do. To deny ourselves means to put away or to crucify, to kill our pride, our ego, our self-interests, our self-centeredness, our wants, our needs, our demands. Put those all away, to kill all of those. It basically means to put God first and then we become second. But very often in this world, we do the opposite. We put ourselves first, and then if there's extra time, you know, after we do the budget, if there's extra money laying around, if there's extra things laying around, then we think of God. Then we give it to God. Then we put God in our eyesight. Where in reality, it should be the opposite. God should come first, and then we come. But we don't usually do this. Then he says, take up your cross. Now again, the cross, remember, is a symbol of death and destruction. Why would Christ say, take up your cross? Die, basically, he says. Die. Because remember, again, in the ancient world, when you were carrying your cross, it was a one-way journey. You were not coming back from that cross if you took up a cross. You picked up your cross, you were going, and you were not coming home that evening. But our cross is something that causes pain or suffering. Our cross can be worry, sorrow, anxiety, difficulties, illness, anger, shame, humiliation. It can even be death. If understood correctly and approached in the right way, we can have our crosses be transformed into blessings, just as Christ's cross was transformed from death into life. And it becomes a blessing not just to us, but to those around us. If we look, and I know many people will say, they'll say, "Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You're young, you're handsome." I know, I hear it a lot. "You're young, you're handsome, you don't know what you're saying, you don't know what you're talking about." But if we look in the Old Testament, right, and we look in the Old Testament to Joseph and his story, it is the perfect example. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. They then sell him into slavery, and he's taken to Egypt, and he's forgotten about. And in Egypt, he's then thrown into jail for unjust reasons. And then finally, after many years, after decades, he is released, and he becomes second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. And many, many decades later, his brothers come to Egypt because there is a famine, and he has the extra grain, he has the extra food. And long story short, when they find out who he is and what they had done to him, they're afraid, they're worried, and they say, "Oh, he's going to kill us. He has held grudges against us, and now he's going to harm us." But what Joseph says to them is very true. He says, "You wished evil upon me, but God took that evil and he made it into a blessing, not just for me, but for many people around me." In Armenian history as well, we have this example of someone taking up their cross and then giving it back to God and it becoming a blessing for many. Saint Gregory the Illuminator, our patron saint, is one of them. If we remember the story, he suffered 14 tortures. And these were not slap on the wrist tortures. These were Persian tortures. And Persian tortures, if you're married to a Vatskahai, you know. Persian tortures are bad. Okay? Persian tortures are bad. And he suffered 14 of them. Then he was thrown into Horvira for 14 years. And then after all of that, when the King Dertak was possessed by a demon and came out, or was possessed by a demon and then St. Gregory came out, what does he do? He blesses him, he prays for him, he heals him, and he baptizes him. And because of that, we are Christians today. If St. Gregory had been like most of us and held a grudge for 14 years, and said, that man caused me so much pain and suffering. And if he held that grudge and that hatred towards him, and when he came out, and they said, Gregory, you need to heal the king, he's sick. And if Gregory had said, "Nope, I want nothing to do with him. He's a bad, bad man. I don't want anything to do with him." None of us would be here today. We would either be Muslim, or Zoroastrian, or something else. But none of us would be Christians today. And it has become a blessing that St. Gregory, glory to God, that he was forgiving and he was willing to go and give his cross to Christ. So the question now arises, what cross are you holding on to? What cross might be buried in your past that you have not given to God? That you have not taken up and given to him. What cross do you have that causes pain and suffering that you have not handed over to God to become a blessing? What cross do you see as a curse in your life that is actually a hidden blessing to many? It might be for the Armenian nation in general, for many of us, it might be Hayastan in Armenia and Artsakh and what's going on over there. For many of us, we hold on to a hatred towards our enemies for what has happened and what continues to happen. And we may say to ourselves, I can never forgive them for what they've done. I can't deal with that. They deserve everything they get. But if we were to take that hatred and those grudges and those evil thoughts that we have and we say, you know what? There's a blessing in this somehow. And we're going to give this to God. That anger that we hold in our hearts, God, I promise you, will take it and convert it and transform it into a blessing, not just for the Armenian nation, but for everyone around us. I even offer to say, as I have said before, perhaps this is the opportunity that the Armenians have been waiting for to Christianize the Turks. Perhaps it is this opportunity that the Armenians have been given to Christianize and make them our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no greater conquering of evil than to make them a brother and sister in Christ. But that can only happen if we are willing to take up our cross and give it to Christ and let Him transform it into a blessing. If we hold on to it and we think and dwell upon it for years and decades and centuries, nothing will happen. And we will be in the same situation or maybe even in a worse situation in the years to come. So on the feast of the discovery of the Holy Cross today, I ask each of us to find our crosses in our lives, both personally and maybe on a national level. And find those crosses that have caused us pain and grief and sorrow. Give them to God. And then live our lives as Christ wants us to live them. Because then He will give them back to us. And they will be a blessing not just to ourselves, but to all those around us. Amen.